Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is our second lesson in talking about the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures. In our first lesson, we mentioned the passage of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, a passage that emphasizes the divine inspiration of the Scripture. But more than that, more than it simply being God-breathed, which is very important, it tells us that He furnishes all good works, the works that God considers good, that man is thoroughly furnished unto every good work, and it's profitable, it's beneficial, helpful, useful, essential, necessary. And we learn that the Scripture is that which claims to be all-sufficient. And we tried to make the point that if you believe the Bible, you will believe the Bible to be all-sufficient. And that means that the things that men have added to it, taken from it, their creeds, their manuals, their disciplines, their various prayer books, all of their different authorities that they turn to in their churches and in their religions, it has no place in service to God. The Scripture is that which is to be our guide. It claims to be our guide, and it claims to be all that we need. And the Scripture teaches us what the apostles taught, what those who were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit taught. Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and they were guided into all the truth. And therefore, if they were guided into all the truth, then that which claims to be truth, which is outside the Bible, is really not the truth. Now, Jesus emphasized the sufficiency of Scripture when He said, "Search the Scripture, for in them ye have eternal life." The Bereans searched the Scripture. The Apostle Paul said anathema to those who would teach another doctrine other than what he taught. Friend, what the apostles spoke was later written in words that were chosen by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. And we're taught not to go beyond what is written, 1 Corinthians 4, 6. Why would that be the rule if the Bible was not adequate, if what is written was insufficient? Peter said that the word of God endureth forever, 1 Peter 1, verse 25. Why do we need, or why should we even want, something other than that? You see, the apostles were provided all things that pertain to life and godliness, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And if they had all that was necessary, why do men think that they can improve upon what God has revealed? Why do they think there is more yet to come? Or from what source do we receive additional truth? In Jude verse 3, it teaches that the faith has been once delivered. And that word once means once for all time. It's completely delivered to the saints. Therefore, if anything comes thereafter, and if anything comes along that differs from that which has been revealed, that's not of the faith of Christ. That's from the doctrines of men. That's the very thing that the Lord forbids. The Scriptures reveal the faith of Christ. And there is no need for these so-called latter-day revelation that men concoct and pass off as if they have received some kind of special revelation from God in addition to what the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles. Oh, there are passages of Scripture that explicitly forbid additions, forbid subtractions, such as in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, Proverbs 30 and verse 6, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. We're not to add to what the Word of God says. Isaiah wrote, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Why, this could only be said if the word was sufficient, adequate. We must have the Lord's authority for what we do. Colossians 3 and verse 17. And that authority is in the Scripture. Now, the Bible is not sufficient in everything. It's not sufficient in mathematics. It's not intended to be. It's not a science book. It's not intended to be. When it speaks of science, it speaks adequately and correctly, but it's not sufficient in teaching science or mechanics or navigation or medicine, and on, and all the various subjects and titles that men can study. It was never intended to be. But it does now and then mention those subjects, and when it does, it's always accurate and correct in what it teaches. But that was not why God gave us the Bible. Now let me read to you from Isaiah 55. "So shall we the word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I sent it, and that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." You see, friend, the Bible is intended to supply that which pertains to life and godliness. It's to supply that which is necessary for a proper relationship between God and man. It tells us about God's plan for saving man and man's responsibility to respond to what God has done. It is sufficient in those matters. And the Bible is not insufficient by just having a copy in the house. It's not without knowledge. We must study it. We must apply it. We must believe it. We must obey it. We must practice it. But it is sufficient to accomplish what God intends to accomplish by the Scriptures if we will do that. You see, the gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. But only those who have an obedient faith are those who are going to be saved. The word is able to save the soul, but it will save the soul to those who receive it, James 1 and verse 21. It will benefit those who both hear and do. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Yes, if man will hear, believe, and obey what the Scripture says, he will be in the right relationship with God. And there is nothing else that is needed for man to be in a right relationship with God. Notice, though Scripture is sufficient in doctrine or teaching, do you want to know what the doctrine of Christ is? Do you want to know what to teach and what to believe? We are to teach sound doctrine, Titus 2 and verse 1. We're not to condone doctrine that's not the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9 through 11. We're to mark those who cause divisions by false doctrines, Romans 16 and 17. We will not endure unsound doctrine. Some will not endure sound doctrine, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. Some are turned by every wind of doctrine, Ephesians 4, 14. But the doctrine of Christ is the standard, friend. The doctrine of Christ is the measure. The Scriptures furnish that to us. And if it's not in the Scripture, then it's not the Word of God. The Scripture is adequate for reproof. You see, there are things that people do that are wrong. They should be rebuked. sin stands in opposition to that which is God approves. Sin separates us from God. It cannot be allowed to go unchecked, lest the whole lump be destroyed, Galatians 5:9. We must have a love for the truth, and the reproving of error is to be found from Scripture. But not only reproof, but correction. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son whom he delighteth. That correction comes, friend, from the Scriptures. And the Bible is sufficient in the instruction in righteousness. The righteousness of God does not here refer to an attribute of God, but the way that God makes man righteous. It's the right doing. The commandments of God are righteousness. The Scripture furnishes that for us. Now, from what reliable source do we learn of our spiritual condition? From what source do we learn our spiritual needs? From what source do we learn of God's provisions for us, the identity of Christ, what deity has done to save us, what deity expects us to do to take advantage of what he has done? From what source do we learn how to live, how to treat others, how to worship, where we came from, why we are here, how to live while we are here, and where we are going? You see, all these are important matters. They are taught to us sufficiently from the Scriptures that God has given. I contend before you, friend, and please consider it seriously. There is nothing lacking that can be or needs to be found elsewhere other than in the Word of God. The all-sufficient Scripture, then, is going to be the standard for our judgment in the last day, John 12 and verse 48. Therefore, the Bible is all that we need for our guide and our association, the creeds and the disciplines and the manuals and all the additional books that men have written and concocted, they have no place, not in that which is called Christianity. You see, the Bible reveals Christianity. Christianity is revealed in the Bible. We need all that is in the Bible, but we don't need more. We don't need the minds of men, and we certainly do not think that we can afford less than the Bible. As we have stated previously, we take it all, and it's all that it takes. The inspired, the infallible, the inerrant, the authoritative, all-sufficient Word of God. If you want heaven to be your home, you turn to that which God has provided for us. It will furnish us completely in everything that we need. It will make us acceptable in the sight of God. It will mean that when our time comes to leave the walks of this life, all will be well with our soul if we have heard the Word, believe the Word, and obey the Word, because the Word of God is adequate and fully sufficient to cause us to be pleasing in the sight of God. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.